Yesterday, Beis Tam was the yahrzeit of the Trisker Magid, Rabbi Avram from Trisk, who was one of the eight sons of the Magid from Chernobyl. We spoke about the Magid not long ago, and we spoke about other children of the Magid. So one of the Heilige children was the Trisker Magid. And the Belzebub of Yisachar Dov said about him, that the Rebbe of all Rebbes in Poland, in Galicia, was the Rebbe of Rebbe Melech. The Rebbe of all Rebbes in Rosland was the Chernobyl Magid, and the Rebbe of all Rebbes in Poland was the Trisker Magid. Towards the end of his life, he was a tremendous, tremendous Kaddish Vatar. The Garlitz Rav, he was one of the sons of the Devi Chaim. We spoke about him. He said that once he spent Shabbos by the Trisker Magid, and by observing him, he never knew that it was possible for a person to live without eating. And so he saw the conduct of the Trisker Magid. He fasted from Shabbos to Shabbos. And at his tish on Friday night, he would have a little bit of bread, an eyeball from the fish, and a cup of hot milk. And when they looked at the bread to see how much he ate, it was mamish, as if there was as whole as it was before he touched it. That was his food. I never knew it was possible for a person to live without eating. That's what he said. By the end of his life, Rav David Tolner said that you couldn't even speak to him in matterly world of this world, because he was so dovet by Hashem, he was so connected to Hashem, that you couldn't even talk to him about simple things anymore. He's pushing in a different reality. When he would say Torah, so he had a special inyan to say Torah by Shaivivim. Satmar Rebbe also had big inyan, Shaivivim Torah. So the Magid, so he would say Torah by the Shaivivim. And it was so impactful, and it was so Kaddish Vatar, the words which came out of his mouth, that people would faint. People had to be taken out from the Beis Medrash, because they would faint from hearing his words, Shaivivim Torah. Similarly, by Erev Yom Kippur, by the Sudam Hafsekes, already you couldn't recognize him anymore. The Kedushas HaYom came upon him on Erev Yom Kippur. And at the end of the Sudam Hafsekes, he made comments like this. He would say, the Malchus Derekiyas came Achusa Da'ara. Now, the Malchus of Hashem above is like the Malchus down here. And Hashem is being Mechadish, his Malucha, he's renewing his Malchus, his kingship. And Hashem should pardon many Yidden, just like when a president, you know, towards the end of his term, beginning of a new term, so he pardons those who are incarcerated. So Hashem should pardon us. And he said, when those words came out of his mouth, and people were fainting all over the place, just for to hear those words come out of his mouth. The Kedusha V'Tahara. Mentioned at the Shabbos Shir this morning, by the name of the Melech Shir, that he was once sitting at a tish Friday night, and he whispered something to his son, Reb Mordechai from Kashmir. And then Reb Mordechai from Kashmir whispered something back to him. And at the table at the time was one of the sons of Reb Isaacal from Zedek Choiv. And he saw this exchange, and many people didn't see it, but he was very curious to know what happened afterwards. He went over to Reb Mordechai from Kashmir and he said to him, Sonu, what's up the tata? What did the tata tell you? He said, nah, you don't need to know. And so he said, no, he said, please, he pushed him, please tell me. He said, okay, fine, I'll tell you. He said, my father turned to me and he said to me, did I say Torah yet? Have I said the Torah yet for the Tish? The way of many tzaddikim was that when they didn't just say Torah, they didn't prepare Torah, they came into a state of hispashus agashmias, and the Shechina medaver mitach grana, the Shechina would say Torah. But I told you about his grandfather, the Magid from Chernobyl, and not the Magid's father, the Mori Naim from Chernobyl. You know, he only put down in his sefer, in the sefer Mori Naim, only Torahs which he didn't remember that he said. And only those Torahs, he felt those were the real Torahs, because he didn't say those Torahs, the Shechina said those Torahs. So did I say Torah yet? Imagine, we're here talking now for 5 minutes already. Would we forget the Torah was said? He didn't know. He Pasha didn't know whether he had said Torah. He had a very big inyan when it came to Pekidas Akaris. Women struggling to have children, he had a mamash and inyan with that. So once a chassid came, he was actually one of the sons of the Imre Noyim from Jikov. And he came to Trisk, and he was there from Yom Kippur. And he came and he asked the bracha from the Rebbe, you know, to have me in mind, they should have children. So that was on Erev Yom Kippur. So already by the night of Yom Kippur, while the Rebbe was finishing up Kol Nidre, he came over to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe was pacing back and forth with the machzor nisan. He was involved in an inyan. And he said, Rebbe, don't forget me. He said, yeah, ein shechel lifnei kisei chavedacha. There's no forgetfulness in front of the kisei akaveh. And he had a child. He had a child from that. Ein shechel kisei. Similar story to that. There were two chassidim that they came to a trisk, and they wanted to get a bracha from the tzaddik. And at the time, the maga was very weak, and a lot of people had come and they came to get brachas. And they came in and they passed. They passed quickly. They didn't want to take all the time for the tzaddik because there's such an entourage of people who were waiting to get brachas. So they came in very quickly. And then afterwards, they were like, oh, you know, we should come back again. You know, the rebbe won't recognize us. So they came back around again to come a second time, and the rebbe spotted them. He says, you were here already. So he says, Rebbe, we came because we wanted to tell you shouldn't forget us. Ain't shechel if the kisei chvedach. No, by the kisei cover, nobody forgets. There was another chassid. This was a chassid of the Sar Shana from Belz. And for many years, he had asked the Sar Shalom that he should be zeichet to have children, and the Sar Shalom, he tried to give him brachas, and then one time he came to the Sar Shalom, and he gave him like a sigh, like, eh, as if like nothing he could do for him. So he took that as a simon that, you know, maybe it wouldn't work out for him, but he spent the Shabbos by the Maggid from Tris. And when the Maggid gave him a l'chaim, and he said to him, I give you brachas, you should have a child. He didn't say anything to him. He said, I give you brachas, you should have a child. He was thrown aback by that, and he said I told him everything which the Sar Shalom said. Sar Shalom was one of the Goyle Adar, but my Rebbe had said. And he says, "Afal picha, and I give you bracha shavcha." So he comes very quickly, runs back to Sar Shalom from Belz, and he says, "Rebbe, what are you doing here? You were here just recently." He says, "No, Rebbe, I have to tell you that what happened by the Trisk Magid gave me a bracha shuzechet of a child." So he says, "I don't recognize the name Magid from Trisk. Who is the Magid from Trisk?" He says, he's the son, he's a tzaddik, he's the son of the Maggid from Chernobyl. So he said back, I don't recognize him, and I don't see him to be a rabbi. So he went back, he was brokenhearted, he went back to the Maggid from Trisk, and he told him what the Sar Shalom had said. So he said, tell the Sar Shalom this. He says, tell him in my name, how could you say that I'm not a rabbi? He says, In Rosh Hashanah, in the Olamos, in the higher worlds, we saw each other. And you tell him that he was wearing the cloak of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. He was wearing the cloak of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. They said, Siddiqim said the Sar Shalom was a nitzitz of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. He says, tell him he was wearing the cloak of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. And I saw him and he saw me. So he went back to the Sar Shalom, he told him that. He says, oh yeah, now I recognize him. Yeah, now I recognize him. Oh, if you gave you a bracha, it's a good bracha. Didn't talk, it's a good bracha. I recognize him now. Yeah. Speaking about the sinyan, so there was once, there was a chassid who came, a woman who came. She was already, you know, in maybe 40 years old, 30, 40, 30, whatever it was. And he went to the Rebbe, and she asked for a bracha, she should have a child, and he says, give you a bracha, she should have a child. So she came back the next day and she said, Rebbe, I'm sorry, I lied to you. I'm not as young as I thought. I told you, I'm 10 years older. 10 years older. So the Rebbe said, don't worry about it. Hashem Yisbarach loves me. If I would tell a Susana, which is supposed to be like a tree which can't give fruit, if I would tell a Susana to have fruit, it would have fruit. That's how much Hashem loves me. I could, whatever I say, they're sure. Like many rebbes, in those times, he was thrown into prison. It was the false accounts of things which he was completely clean of. Him together with Rabbi Abi Hasheni, the second Rabbi Abi, they were thrown into prison together. And for the first while, they weren't even allowed to be near each other. That was a very big tsar. Finally, they were put in the same cell. But the Rishayim wanted to make their lives difficult. So in the room where they stayed, the Rishayim, they put a bathroom there, a toilet there, and they would go and they would leave it out. And it was a very great tsar from the fact, not that they were in prison, but they couldn't think and learn the entire time. And eventually, the Magen made a special Suda Saida that the entire time that he was in prison, that prison cell where the bathroom was there, that he didn't think once in Divrei Torah. He just made a special, he had the Siyata Deshmai, he said, not to think and learning. He made a special Suda Saida for that. Anyways, they were deliberating what type of a sentence would be appropriate for the Maggid, and they said 15 to 20 years in prison. Of course, the Hasidim were going crazy, all the Askanim were trying to find a way. So first they were able to secure him a private room, but he wasn't happy with that, because he didn't want to be by himself. He said that he needed a Shemirah. Rabbi Tzaddik can have their Inyanim, he needed a Shemirah. So there was one Yid, a Chassid, who wasn't in prison. He was just living a life. And he said he would go into prison together with the Maggid. His name was Micha. And one morning, after the Maggid was saying Tehillim, and he came to the Pasuk, Ad Ana Yaram Oyvi Olai, how much longer will my enemies hang above me, oppress me? So he turned quickly to Micha and he said, Micha, we're leaving jail tomorrow morning. So he said, Rebbe, how do you know? He says, because this morning, Hashem Yisbarach took away all my madrigas. I mean, everything which I have, Hashem took it away from me. And that's a siman to me, min Hashemayim, that we're ready to leave jail. That meant like he had a misa, and after a misa, like a tchias ameis. He says, ready to leave jail. We're leaving jail tomorrow morning. So there was some talk, there was some commotion about this happening. So there was a 10-year-old child who heard the news already before the Maggid, and he came to the top of the cellar. It was like a pit. And he called down from the top of the pit. He says, Maggid from Trisk, you're leaving jail. And when he heard that from above, that was his confirmation, and they had a very big simcha from that. And he came out of jail. He said, Mazel Tov Rebbe, the news has come from Petersburg that you're leaving. Okay, so he left. Many, many years went by. And there was a Yid who was enlisted to go into the army, and he was already, he was married, and he had a mishpacha, and so on. And he came to the Rebbe, and he asked the Rebbe, the Maggid from Trisk, that he should have a bracha, that he should be pardoned from going to the army. He handed a bracha. So the Rebbe, and he handed the Rebbe 5 ruble. And the Rebbe took 2 ruble and gave back 3. And he said, I gave you a bracha already. So he says, Rebbe, I've never seen you before. What are you talking about? He says, no. He says, many years ago, you were the child who came and screamed out from the top, Rebbe, you're leaving jail. And at the time that you gave me that besaira, that news, I said in my heart, that he did me a taiva, I have to give him a bracha, that he should never go to jail. He should never go to the army. And I was meichel you that if you ever gave me a pigeon because he did me a taiva, I'd only take half. So he gave him back the 3 and he said, I gave you a bracha already. I don't have to give you another bracha. Kedusha, the Ruach HaKodesh of the Maggid. There was some type of a... Did I mention?
Yeah,
go ahead. There was some type of a plague or cholera, which was plaguing the city of Trisk and nearby towns. And one of his sons, Mordechai from Kashmir, came and he said to Rebbe, maybe you should tell the chassidim they shouldn't come for Yom HaRayim this year because of the Magefa. So he said, no, everybody should come. I was already piled and nothing's going to happen to anybody except maybe for one person. That's what he said. Except maybe for one person. So the chassidim come, Mashani, Yom Kippur, everything is beautiful, smooth, everybody's healthy and happy and good. And then it was Hashanah Rabbah. He was doing his Hashanahs. And there was one of the Chassid got sick. And they told the Chassid, he was very sick, he said, go and be masker yourself to the Rebbe. So he says, no, I don't want to be mafsik the avoid of the tzaddik. And he passed away. So they told this to the Maggid from Trisk afterwards. And he said, he's a Chassid Shaita, he's a fool. He says, had he come to me in the middle of the Anunim, I for sure would have given him a Yeshua. And his Yeshua was in my hands. He would have had a Yeshua. I could have taken care of him. It was a shaita to not come to me. He says, Afal Pichim, when you're taking out the mace to go bury him, make sure you come by my house and I have something to do with him. That's exactly what happened. They stopped by the house. The Maggid came down. And he said, he gave him a special shmira, and he said to him, don't be afraid. Just go straight to my father, the Maggid from Chernobyl, and then go to my Zkenya Kaddish, go to the Moranayim, and go straight there, and they're going to take good care of you. So the next night, Shmini Atzeres, by the Hakafas, the Maggid was dancing, and by the third Hakafah, he needed a little break. He sat down, he took a little break, and he called over one of his sons, and he said to him, he says, oh, you see, already that chassid is here dancing along with us, with my father and my grandfather. He's already here dancing with us. He already made it to them, to my father, my grandfather, dancing with us too. He's already with the idol. He used to predict like Mashiach's coming. He used to say Mashiach's coming this year, Mashiach's coming this day. He had an inyan with that. So there was a certain Rav who didn't like that. He said, Rebbe, I have a question. You know, not that I question the Rebbe, but how is it that you're making predictions about Mashiach's coming when the Gemara says you're not supposed to do that? He says, I'm not giving predictions. He says, the Gemara in Kiddushin says that if a father is over under Veitayr, if one's father does something he's not supposed to do, so you shouldn't say, Tati, you did an Aveira. You should say, Tati, does it not say so-and-so in the Torah that you're not supposed to do it? So he says, so to me. He says, I'm not telling the Ebishter, you know, I'm not predicting any time Mashiach comes. If I say Zman Kate, what I'm basically saying is Rebbeinu Shem, doesn't it say that you're going to be Mashiach? Doesn't it say you're going to be Mashiach? Like, no, like a hint, isn't it time, Mashiach? Yeah. There was a conversation which took place between the Birchas Avram and the Nesivas Shalom. Birchas Avram was the father and the Nesivas Shalom. Both were the rebbes from Slanim. And the Birchas Avram told the Nesivas Shalom that 4 months before the Ptira of the Ajrav, the rebbe from Ajrav, before he passed away, he said Mashiach is coming that year. And immediately, when he heard that, I think the Nesiv Shalom said that. So the Birchas Avram said back, he says, no. Let me explain to you what happens with this. He said that Reb Aaron Chernobler, who was the oldest son of the Maggid from Chernobyl, he also said Mashiach was coming a certain year. And Mashiach didn't come that year. So when word came to his brother, Reb Avram from Trisk, about the predictions of the Aaron from Chernobyl, he says, you don't understand him. He says that year he passed away when he said that. And for a tzaddik, because he's about to go into the next world, and when the tzaddik goes to the next world, that's like a bechina of bias Mashiach. So when he said Mashiach is coming, he was mistaken, or he was just basically saying that he's going to pass away that year, but not that Mashiach is coming. That's what the Maggid from Trisk touched it. 17 years later, so the Maggid from Trisk said Mashiach is coming this year. And those who remembered 17 years earlier, they knew that was here. They're going to pass away that year. Mashiach's coming this year. He passed away that year. So they can know when they're going to pass away. So based on that sipur, so the Birchas Avram said, that's the pshat from the Ajver Rav also. But he said, Mashiach is coming, and that he passed away that year also. Passing away is between this Mashiach. Nice stories. Maybe one more story. So when he would bench, he would come, when he would come to the part Harachaman, so he would take a very long time. Sometimes 1 minute, sometimes 10 minutes, sometimes 2-3 hours before he would say that. And the Tzaddikim said the reason why is because he wouldn't say that until he saw Eliyahu Navi. So, and how long it took? If one he'd see Eliyahu Navi, he would say Harachaman. And just one last story. So once, so his son, Rav Mordechai, was being mishamish his father, and his father was in bed, he was really older, and then he left the room and closed the door. All of a sudden, he hears like a scream from coming in from the room, but it wasn't his father, it was something else, and he was curious to know like what that was. So he went quickly into the room, he says, Tati, everything okay? He said, yeah, everything's fine. So what happened? He said that his mother was just here, from the Oilamas, from the higher worlds. Mother was here, no, Bubby was here. So what was she doing here? He says, because every year when there's a yortzeit of a person who passed away, So there's a din in the Beis Neshamah on that person. Before they can have an Aliyas Neshamah, they have to go through a din, a Yom HaDin. And it was paskin on her that, and you know, they examine every single Aveira that a person may have done. It's all for good. And they came out that she was chayiv on a certain inyan, that the one she made Shabbos early and she went outside, and there was a reflection off of her hat on a rock, and there was a horse which was coming by, and it caused the horse rider to be mechal Shabbos. So Mamela, she is chayiv for that. So they said to her, so she can have a choice. Either she can go to Gehenna, or she has to spend one day in the world. So she said, I choose to spend one day in the world below. So she came into the world, and she came running to me, and she said that she would have company by me, nothing can happen to her when she's by me. So she said, so why did she let out that cry? She let out the cry because she was coming from the higher olamos, that the avir in this world is so tomadic, that when she came into this world, she said, ah! Because just just to come in contact with the tomb of this world made her scream, ah! But she was safe by me. By me, it was okay. It wasn't much of a leap to leave the olamos to come into my dal and amos. Wasn't so much of a mesiras nefesh. Kaddish v'tar. Yeah. Schus yagleni v'alkoi solamei. Amen.